Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. With Mobile's award-winning garden expert and chief horticultural advisor for Mobile Botanical Gardens, Bill Finch. We'll talk about living and growing on the Gulf Coast. Now, your personal yard and garden consultant, here's Bill Finch.
Hey, welcome back. It's a Gulf Coast Sunday morning with Plain Gardening. I'm learning a lot about fireflies this morning, thanks to you guys. It suggests we've got a lot of them left. Dan asked, why can't we call them lightning bugs anymore? And Dan, if you'll notice, I slipped up and gave the old southern name for fireflies, lightning bug, when we were talking about them earlier this morning. We could certainly use the term lightning bug, like we can use the term firefly. They're both good. I like lightning bug just about as well. That is just what happened to me the other day. It was amazing. I thought I was seeing flashes of lightning out of the corner of my eye, and I thought, well, I better seek some shelter. And then there was no thunder, and then there was another flash, and boy, boom. It was fireflies, lightning bugs everywhere. An amazing thing. Dan sent me a picture, too, of a little caterpillar. We'll publish that picture of that caterpillar, and Phil will want to know what kind of fat little dude this is, just like Dan is. Phil, Dan, that caterpillar is the caterpillar of one of the most spectacular moths of all. It's a very distinctive caterpillar. It's the last instar. That means the last sort of phase, just before it pupates, of the Luna moth. Not lunar, but Luna, L-U-N-A, Luna moth. Beautiful moth with this big green moth with this long, long tail. Caterpillar is pretty spectacular too, but a little discreet. You've got him on a piece of brown, so he doesn't blend in very well, but he blends in pretty well on a leaf. He'll want to pupate, Dan, in a leaf. He uses leaves to pupate in to form a cocoon from which he will emerge, and not quite a cocoon. There's another name for it, a chrysalis or whatever. A cocoon or a chrysalis from which it emerges to become the big Luna moth. What do they eat? These caterpillars aren't really going to eat much out of your garden. They're going to eat persimmons, leaves. They like sweet gum. They like persimmons. There's a whole suite of other trees that they like. Mostly trees are what they eat, but they don't eat enough to cause any damage. So you don't need to worry about them. It's a cool little thing you got there, Dan. It's going to be a Luna moth. You should look for the material Luna moth when it emerges. Tony, Tony sent me a picture with his fig bush and some type of what looks to be like some kind of fungus that is spreading out from the fig bush. I'm trying to figure that one out. It's kind of an interesting thing to try to figure out what's going on there. It's got some mulch, and it's probably just growing in the mulch. I'm not sure why. I don't think it's hurting. I think that fungus is growing on the mulch that you have around the fig, and that's all right. That's fine. That's not a problem. Is the ground there staying extra wet? Just make sure it isn't. If it is, we need to think about what's going on right there. And that could cause the fig to lean if the root system is a little overly wet. So let me know if that's a problem. Otherwise, I say everything's just fine. The fungus is growing on the leaves that you've laid down around the trunk of this thing. Not wet, just in the mulch. I think it's all going to it's all going to work out just right. Dan says that caterpillar he found was on the fence right by the sweet gum tree, acting so just very typical for a Luna moth, just doing that. John in Irvington says he's got plenty of fireflies, lightning bugs down there. We're doing a lightning bug firefly survey this morning, trying to figure out where we are, where they are. And you can kind of see, based on the callers, there's kind of a ring. You could see it. It's just outside the urban area of Mobile. It kind of runs out along Schillinger's Road. As Schillinger's Road becomes more developed and as more people move out there, you're going to see fewer and fewer lightning bugs. It's one of the problems as you move. You know, you can't really escape the growth of these cities. Sometimes we bring that growth with us when we go. It's kind of a shame, but we do. You know, we improve the roads so that it's not so hard for us to get into the city. And when we do that, more people come because it's more convenient. And then we have a little convenience store, and then we have a place to buy gasoline, and then we have a grocery store. And before you know it, we're a city out in the country. But that has moved out west, and now you're beginning to see sort of a pattern of where the fireflies remain, and they tend to remain just on the edges, but there are little pockets within the city that's very nice, where there's natural vegetation, where there are wetlands, that's kind of nice. If anybody in Midtown, and now I'm curious, if anybody in Midtown has seen any fireflies, I'd love to know it. I'd love to know it. If you're in the city limits of Fairhope and you have any fireflies left, I'd love to know it. I'd love to know that, too. So let me know if you're in those areas and you're seeing fireflies or lightning bugs, and particularly in Midtown. I mean, you know, Midtown must have been covered with lightning bugs and fireflies at one time. Midtown is the area, you folks may not know, that is the area that is basically east of 65, between 65 and downtown, and where the older suburbs of Mobile are, and the suburbs that developed from the 1870s through 1940, 1950. Those old suburbs before you head up the hill, that's Midtown. And I'm curious, I think that was all Pine Savanna. We all know that it was longleaf Pine Savanna / Pine Savanna. Wasn't live oaks like it is now. It was this beautiful longleaf Pine Savanna with big grasslands and pitcher plant bogs and other things. All of that was part of Midtown, and there must have been gajillions of lightning bugs there. But you don't see them much anymore. If there are any remnants, I'd like to know about it. Maybe around the remnants of Rag Swamp. Some of you may be seeing them there. Love to hear about that. Tara, I'm listening. What's up?
Hey, good morning, and happy Mom's Day to all the moms out there. Even those of us who have furry children. But I'm calling to find out when I deliberately hold off on mowing for a couple of reasons. It's not a huge area, but it is an area that grows fireflies. But I hold off because it also grows wildflowers and meadow things that I want. So the rule that I was given by asking someone else who's an expert, when is a good time? And she suggested to hold off at least till Mother's Day. Now, my question is, in our area, this was in the Jackson, Mississippi area. In our area here, coastally, what is the best time to start the mowing so that you don't kill the grubs that are going to give you the future fireflies?
Yeah, well, you're not going to kill the grubs by mowing. What you do is you make it constant mowing would kill the grubs. I think mowing once a year is probably not going to impact the grubs a lot. You do want to do it.
Let me say that after Mother's Day and after the wildflowers and things have had a chance to regenerate themselves, you know, from the soil up. I do mow more regularly. I don't just leave that meadow all the time.
I think the lightning bugs come out to mate beginning this time of year, and in May, in April, late April, in Mobile, and April and May. If anybody sees differently, let me know. But generally, I think we're talking April, May, and early June is a big mating season for the fireflies. I think after June, probably there are fewer fireflies, at least along the coast. If anybody sees differently, let me know. There are a lot of different kinds of fireflies out there. They all have different cycles. Slightly different cycles are taking advantage of different things. So it may be hard to say exactly when these fireflies emerge. I would say that we'll be back. And then I'll say what I'm going to say.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
You know, one of the things that I'm seeing in common from the responses I'm getting, almost everybody who's messaged me is living next to a remnant of wetlands, whether it's along Dog River or Fowl River or Fish River. Perdido in North Mobile County, even within the city, there were little patches where people still have the fireflies. There were little patches of wetlands. I think wetlands are pretty important to fireflies for a lot of reasons, both because they do provide some darkness because nobody develops them and puts street lights there, but two, because I think a lot of the fireflies, not all fireflies, but a lot of the fireflies that we had around the Gulf Coast were heavily dependent on wetlands, and that's where we saw them. So it's nice to have that. Somebody asked, is it possible to have fireflies? I had fireflies, somebody said, out on Hillcrest Road, not too far out of town, when I moved there 20 years ago, and suddenly I don't have them anymore. So I'd like to have them back. What can I do? And so she said, I can turn the lights out, I can put the leaves out, but will a bird bath be good? Not really. That's not what they're looking for. They're looking for moisture in the ground. It's the kind of habitat that the larvae don't live in the wet places. They live on the edges of these wet places in the ground. And that seems to be a pretty important place. Areas that get saturated where the water levels fluctuate up and down. It's not going to be where the water level stays the same. It's probably going to be where water levels fluctuate up and down. They can move in and out of those areas, utilize those areas. Those seem to be pretty important for a lot of the fireflies we have around here. So a bird bath isn't what we're looking for. What we're looking for is a nice little wetland area. Let me talk about what a wetland area can look like while we're on this, just so you'll get a picture that it can be a really beautiful thing for you and for the fireflies. You could make a wetland with, for example, Louisiana iris, right? You could have a bunch of beautiful colors of Louisiana iris in your little wetland. You could have Hymenocallis lilies, the beautiful Delta lilies that people see blooming, just stunning lilies. I had some blooming in my little wetland area in my yard. Somebody was walking through Midtown and saw them and said, "Oh man, you got to tell us what those plants were and how do we get them?" Well, they're a little hard to get. We'll work on getting some through the Mobile Botanical Gardens, but they're great things. The beautiful Louisiana iris, the other wetland plants that could be doing so well in those little wetland gardens. You could have a wetland garden and a great place for your fireflies. They would love it. They're probably going to exist right along the edge of that wetland, right along the edge of the wetland, not in it so much as on the edge. And the places that stay moist for a long period of time, they like a little bit of leaf cover, and that's a nice part of it too. And I will say that I have a nice place. Unfortunately, there's a light shining on it from a neighbor, but I will see what I can do to stop that. I'm already doing what I can to stop that. But It's a nice little place, a nice little wetland area where the fireflies could be. But I don't have fireflies. Why is that? Well, they're probably, as we like to say, extirpated. They've been kicked out of the neighborhood, so there's no way for them to repopulate my garden. And so I may have to find an area of Mobile with similar conditions to mine and get some fireflies and try to reintroduce them. I'm not sure how you reintroduce fireflies. I think it's something worth thinking about when we do that. So when do fireflies start showing off in Mobile? This is our next question. It's a good one. So I got a response from down at Cypress Shores on those little islands that run through the old canals at Cypress Shores where I used to live. I remember those little islands well. And the fireflies are on those little islands, and they started coming out about a week ago at Cypress Shores. So this is their time of year, early May, April, May, into early June. I think that's when you're going to be seeing fireflies around Mobile, kind of the classic time. Depending on the species, depending on the type of wetland it is, dependent maybe some years on the flooding, on how much flooding there is and how wet things are. It may delay them or speed them up. I don't know. We'll have a lot of variables, but there it is. April, May, and June is what I'm thinking. If you're seeing different, if you're seeing fireflies much earlier, or if you're seeing fireflies much later in the year, I'd like to know that. There's another interesting thing to think about with fireflies while we're on the subject this morning. Is people, this is the funny part. So fireflies used to be such a common part of our lives. I mean, they were common. You expected them. They were wondrous. They were wonderful no matter where you saw them, no matter how you saw them. They remained wonderful. They remain a surprise. Even when you get used to them, they remain a surprise. But they were common, and they were part of our lives. They made us feel good. But here's the interesting thing. People now are traveling hundreds of miles to go see firefly displays. This is typical. So they get in their cars because we've destroyed the fireflies around us. We've turned on all the porch lights. We've drained all the wetlands. We've mowed the grass so tight. But we're going to get in our cars and drive hundreds of miles, sometimes thousands of miles, to go see synchronous firefly displays in the Appalachians. It's weird. It's crazy weird, but this is the world. This is the way the world is. So there are a lot of people who believe the synchronous firefly displays, which are when all the fireflies in a population all light up at the same moment and they go out at the same moment. They're synchronous. All of them turn on and off at the same time. There are populations like that in Alabama. I really don't want to tell people about them because I'm afraid they'll get the tourists going there too. But if you've got any synchronous fireflies, I'd love to hear about those. I think there may be some populations down here along the coast. I wouldn't be surprised. I know there are some in central and north Alabama. So let's talk about that. About where they are and where they could be. Where in Midtown do the fireflies remain? That's an open question. Something I'd still like to think about where they occur. And again, I think the remnants of Rag Swamp may be a great place. Greg, you know, there's not a lot of wetlands left around Oakley. In there, we drain most of those areas. But it's one of the problems. So we'll be back and talking more about it here in just a minute. If you've got any questions about fireflies, be sure to let me know and give us a call, 251-343-0106. Any observations about fireflies, love to know. Dan is sending me pictures of his gagootsa squash. That's really nice to know. Things are going on in gardens in a big way right now. It's going to be a very important week for tomatoes. A very important week for your tomatoes. This is the time you want the tomatoes to be at peak flowering and peak fruiting, both. And I hope your tomatoes has both fruits and flowers at this point, because it's a very important time. You actually want to be harvesting, ideally, in Mobile, to get the most out of your tomatoes. You want to be harvesting tomatoes by the end of this month, even by the middle of the month, if possible, because as we get into July, the tomatoes are going to quit producing. You're going to get fewer and fewer, very little flower set, and fewer tomatoes, more bug pressure. So the big important season of harvesting tomatoes is just right on us. And let's hope you got your tomatoes in the ground early enough. Let's hope they got enough sunlight. We had a lot of rain this year, which slowed them down, no question. At least some folks did. So this is the time when we want to be making sure those tomatoes are doing really good. If you're having any problems getting your tomatoes in production, let me know about it. If you're seeing any bug issues on your tomatoes, this is a good day to go out and check, because the bugs that we're going to be getting to see on tomatoes, this is a key time. The tomato worms are beginning to show up. They're going to be on the flowers that are at the top of the plant. You got to look at those flowers. Let's talk about that. You give me a call. We'll talk about how to look for them. Look for the hornworms. They scare people to death. They're easy to control. There aren't going to be many hornworms on a plant. Just don't look for the hornworm. Look for the poop. It's very easy to do. They're going to be in the middle of the plant. If you've got lots of fall armyworms, or southern armyworms, I should say, look for those. They're going to be around the base of the plant. They're going to be netting. The leaves are going to look kind of like they're net-like at the base of the plant, and those worms can work their way up. I'll tell you what to do about all of those when we come back. Give us a call, 251-343-0106. Critical time for tomatoes. Let's talk about that. And I'm still listening out for any information you can give me about lightning bugs and fireflies, populations that remain in Mobile. So give us a call, 251-343-0106. We're going to be back.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
Hey, welcome back. It's a Gulf Coast sunny morning with Plain Gardening. David Hubble is busy. He finished the loquat jelly. Now he's on the mayhaw jelly. I had pictures of mayhaws just a minute ago. Now I've got pictures of the jelly. I think he probably took the pictures a little bit earlier, but it's looking good, beautiful stuff. from Hubble's Hearth. Beautiful, beautiful jellies. Talking about lightning bugs, talking about where they occur, getting lots of good information. Charlie, we got a caller, I think, about lightning bugs. Angie, I'm listening. What's up?
Hey, Bill. This is Angie in Fairhope. And we do have them every year. We don't have a lot of them, but we do have them. We're on Morphy and Bishop Road. Our backyard goes to Bobby Green's nursery, and we always have them here. Yeah.
And I know Bobby Green's old nursery quite well. So yeah, there are some wetlands. So you're at the old nursery, the side of the old nursery.
That's right. And, the old nursery.
That's mm-hmm. right. And so some beautiful.
Night,
there's a
so
beautiful.
We do have them.
Beautiful little creek flowing through there. I should talk to Bobby whether he actually does things to encourage them. He may. It's, you know. It'll be a sad thing if we ever lose that nursery, because we'll lose a lot of nice things, including those fireflies.
And we also have a really nice beehive in our front yard. It's been there for years. It's really big. Doesn't look as big this year as it's looked other years, but we do have it.
It's in the tree?
It's in the tree. Yep, in our driveway.
Yep. Yeah, well, those populations will fluctuate year to year. And
welcome to come by.
Yeah, thank you. Well, Angie, it's good to hear. It's good to know that there's some fireflies still there. And once again, it's you know, areas of dark spaces along with unpaved spaces, along with a little bit of wetland. That seems to be the pattern we're seeing with the fireflies. Oh, and, you
wonderful.
Know, even in Fairhope, even in a developed area like Fairhope, yeah, we can still have them. It's nice to know. Angie, thank you.
Thank you. Have a good one.
You too. So let's look at some more things about your tomatoes. I think you're apparently not thinking about them very hard right now. You'll be thinking about them when the worms start attacking. But let's think about your tomatoes right now. They're getting to just the right stage. Taxman, did you say you were actually harvesting those little tomatoes already? I know that he was covered up with small ones. They may actually be ready to go. But listen, there are three types of worms. I just want to remind you of this, that are going to be bothering your tomatoes this time of year. And they are all very easy to look for, and they're all at different places on the tomato plant. Let's start at the top, because this is going to be really, really important. The ones at the tips of your tomato, where the flowers form, and the tips of the stems, okay? Where at the tips of the stems, not in the middle of the plant, but out on the edges of the plant, the tomato worm moth is going to lay her eggs there. And those eggs are going to hatch, and those caterpillars, the tomato worm caterpillars, are going to go straight for the tomato. They're not going to really chew on the leaves. They're not going to chew on the flowers. They're going to go straight for the tomato, and they will really be a disappointing thing, particularly if you've got big tomatoes. If it's small tomatoes, it doesn't matter, because you'll have so many that it won't really matter if you get a few tomato worms. And in fact, the tomato worms don't actually do a number on those small ones. They just sort of fall off before the tomato worm can get to them. But they'll be looking, they'll be really doing a number on your big tomatoes. One of the things, just as you're going out and admiring your tomatoes, look around to see if you see little tiny white eggs. Just pay attention to me. Little white eggs right around where the flowers are. If you see that, that means the tomato worm moth is out. And she's laying her eggs. And that means there are a lot of eggs, I can just about guarantee you, on all the flowers on your plant. You can't pick off all the eggs. It's too hard. You can try. Certainly I've tried. Certainly I've tried to squish them. But those, they're going to be, it only takes one or two of those little worms, and it can do a real number. Use Dipel or Thuricide, either one. It is a very safe disease. It affects only caterpillars. Once you see those eggs, you know you've got about 2 days before the caterpillars hatch out, and they'll be at a perfect time. So see the eggs. If they're very white, you probably have 3 days. If they're very dark, you may only have 1 day before they hatch out. But, you know, go ahead. You can walk. You don't have to run and get some spray. But sometime within 3 days of seeing those eggs, you want to begin spraying Dipel. You'll control those tomato worm caterpillars. You'll have to spray it again if it rains heavily. But we're not going to have rain for a while. So a good spray this week will control those caterpillars really well through this next dry spell, which we're going to be dry for maybe a week or two. It might stay dry for quite a while. The second place that we're going to see a lot of worms right now on your tomato plants is in the middle of the plant, on the leaves, not on the flowers, not on the fruits, but on the leaves. It's the tomato hornworm. They get really big and really fat, and they have a little horn on their butt. Can I say that word out loud, Charlie? They have a horn on their rear quarters, their posterior. And it's a spooky looking thing. They get very large. They will really do a number on the leaves. They rarely eat the fruit. Sometimes they'll get on the fruit, but it's not common. And they do damage mostly because they really have voracious appetite for leaves, but it's easy to spot them. So when you're looking at the top of your plants for those little eggs, look in the middle of your plant, not for the worm, but for big piles of green poop. Now, the rain may have washed it away. Tomorrow, look for the green poop. It'll reappear. And then look immediately up from that green poop, and you're going to find the tomato hornworm. The green poop is very distinctive. It's very dark. It's very conspicuous. And all you have to do for the tomato hornworm, you don't have to go get chemicals. You don't have to do anything. All you have to do is get the leaf that he's on, throw it on the ground, and stomp on it. If it's hard for you to tear a leaf off, you get a pair of pliers and you go. It's very simple. Easy to kill a tomato hornworm. There won't be more than one or two. Look for other patches of poop, but there aren't many. They don't, unlike tomato worms, there are a lot of tomato worms on a plant. Tomato hornworms, there's only usually one or two or three at most on a plant, and usually just one. And then down at the bottom, the fall armyworms, and they are a big pain in the patootie. They're constant. They're all year long, but you can control them with Dipel. If you're seeing, if Dan, is Dan said he saw some fall armyworms or probably southern armyworms down around the base of his plant, just squish them if you see them, or use Dipel if you've got lots of small ones, because they can sometimes get very prolific. So there's your worm problem right now. That's how to solve it. Just look for those. You can really control the worm issues now. You won't have problems with worms. Stink bugs is another issue, but I haven't seen many stink bugs this year. I'm interested to hear if you're seeing a lot of stink bugs, at least around Mobile. They don't seem to have come out as early this year as they have in the past. I don't know why. Doesn't make any sense. I don't know whether it was a disease or what. But we just don't seem to have seen as many. As sure as I say that, boom, we're going to see tons of them. But it's the caterpillars right now that you have to worry about on your tomatoes. If you've got any other questions about that, you feel free to give us a call this morning, 251-343-0106, 251-343-0106. Jim down in Georgetown has sent me a picture of his bananas that are beginning to emerge from the plant. And, you know, bananas are a funny thing. The fruit forms while it's down in the stalk. This is unusual. It's an aberration. It's not what should happen. It's not what would have happened to the original bananas. But a long time ago, people spotted a banana that was forming this gigantic fruit without being pollinated. And they decided, well, we're going to cultivate this thing. We're going to have this thing. for us. And so they brought it out of the woods. It can't survive by itself. It only survives when humans move it around. But the fruit forms down in the trunk. So if it forms too early, sometimes the fruit isn't that good because it went through a growth check in the winter. So you actually want your fruit on your banana to form at the right time, which is late May, early June. That's kind of the perfect time for it to begin emerging from the trunk. Jim, it's going to be interesting this year, and I want you to do this. I want you to pay attention, Jim, and to how good this fruit is. If it's stringy, if it seems a little tough, let me know, because my theory is that those earliest bananas can sometimes be a little bit stringy. And the bananas that are, because they went through a growth check in winter while they were still down in the stalk, the ones that form later tend to be less stringy. Let me know. Hey, give us a call, 251-343-0106.
Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
Yeah, so a few little things we need to clean up here towards the end of our show. Some things we talked about. Tony in Fowl River was having a problem I don't know if it's a problem, but his fig tree was leaning. He says the wind kind of blew it cattywampus, and he's asking, should he straighten it up? Tony, no. It's always a bad idea to try to straighten up a tree that's leaned. For one, you'll end up tearing more roots in the process. The tree will reposition itself, and something that grows as fast as a fig bush is going to find, it's going to find its own way very fast. You won't even be able to, in a year, you won't even know it's leaning at all, because it will send up straight shoots straight up from the base, so it'll be just fine. If the leaning had anything to do with wet ground or some kind of weird something going on in the ground, that's what we wanted to figure out. It doesn't seem to be the case that there's any problem there, so I think we're okay, but if you still see problems with that fig tree leaning, let me know. More reports on fireflies down on downtown Dog River from Hal Tippins. He's seeing lots of them. That's good. And so we're kind of seeing, we've learned something this morning. You know, the fireflies that remain around Mobile, they're almost always, it's an interesting pattern. They're almost always around wetlands. They're almost always in an area where there's not a lot of lighting. Mm-hmm. And those may be the two most important factors for Mobile lightning bugs. And it's something we've lost. Even in the areas, in the areas that I remember them being in Mobile when I was a kid, along Three Mile Creek, Aslava Creek. Aslava has been, there are no wetlands left on Aslava. It's all been turned into a drainage ditch. There's no place for fireflies left. So we don't see them on Aslava Creek. We still see them at Cypress Shores, because even though we tried really hard, we didn't quite get rid of all the wetlands there, and they're showing up on the islands in the middle, not in people's yards so much, but in the islands in the middle of the canals at Cypress Shores, where there are wetlands, where there's no lighting. Interesting, isn't it? We're seeing them on Fish River in places where we haven't destroyed all the wetlands. We're seeing them on Fowl River in places where there's still wetlands left. We're seeing them around Grady Ponds, around Fairhope. Isn't that interesting? We're seeing them near Bobby Green's nursery, where there's some wetlands left on Bobby Green's nursery in Fairhope. There's a pattern here, isn't there? We're seeing them up at Perdido, where there's a whole lot of wetlands. One of the so when people say, "Oh, it must be the pesticides, it must be the chemicals, it must be the," no, it's the loss of wetlands, it's the loss of darkness. They're both very important, and they're the two things that we can bring back. Let's talk about reintroducing lightning bugs, and I'm looking forward to your pictures of lightning bugs. I know that some of you, Greg's going to try to take some pictures. Love to see some of you other folks who are seeing your lightning bugs attempt to take some pictures of them. It can be kind of challenging. It can be interesting, but experiment with it. See what you can do with your cell phones. Cell phones can do amazing things nowadays. Let's get some pictures of those fireflies. Let's talk about them. If any of you, one of the other things to look for, if any of you this week see fireflies all flashing at the same moment, all of the fireflies in the population flashing simultaneously, we call those synchronous fireflies. If there are any of those populations around Mobile, Baldwin, Mississippi, our adjacent counties in Mississippi, within our listening area, I'd love to hear about them. I suspect they're out there, it's something we could be working on. So we'll be working on that, the lightning bugs, a little bit more. And next week we're going to be working a little bit more on your garden too. We're going to be talking about things that are going to be mattering there. I hope you've been paying attention to your tomatoes. This is the time to do it. I know they're going to be growing well. Everything should be growing well as a result of this spate of rain. We've had a great combination of dry weather and wet weather this spring, and it's kind of been nicely timed so that it's minimized tomato diseases, but it's maximized that tomato growth. I think things should be growing very, very well right now. Lots of things should be producing. We don't seem to have seen the kind of bug pressure we've seen in the past, but it's a good time to be watching. Let's also think about what's going to be happening over the next 3 weeks. This rain may be our last for a while. It looks to me like we're going to have very dry conditions this coming week, very cool and dry conditions, and then it's going to be fairly hot and dry for the next little while. So watch out for those super dry conditions. We'll talk about it in about 10 days. If we don't get rain, we're going to have to start thinking about watering critical areas of the yard. We'll talk about how to do that when it comes up, but just begin watching for that as time goes on. What else have we got left? I think we've pretty well covered most people's questions this morning. It's been a great fun morning. Lots of discovery. You know, one of the other things that I didn't mention about fireflies, I'll mention it on the way out. The medical community got so interested in using the chemicals for fireflies. They were collecting millions of wild fireflies from the wild, and that was thought to have some impact in places on those firefly populations. But the big things are things you can make a difference on. Preserve your wetlands. Turn out your lights at night. Let's look at the stars again. Let's look at the fireflies. It's a great way to live. Let's begin thinking about that. There are lots of benefits to turning out the lights, not just for the fireflies, but for lots of other creatures. I think there's even some evidence that one of the reasons we have certain pest problems is because we have so much light at night. It's an interesting problem. Hey, we're going to be back next week. We're going to take it out a little early here so we can get on to our next show. But it was good to hear from you all this morning. It was good to get the pictures. Don't forget to get pictures of your fireflies. And stay tuned next week, and we'll be back.
But you're too late in asking. Mr. Peabody's coal train has hauled it away. Well, sometimes we travel right down the Green River to the abandoned old prison
down by Avery Hill, where the air smelled like snakes. We'd shoot with our pistols, but empty pop bottles was all we would kill. And Daddy, won't you take me back to Muhlenberg County, down by the Green River where paradise lay? Well, I'm sorry, my son, but you're too late and nasty.